2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Peter, the apostle, is writing. As he says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, he's writing to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. And he says, and this is the text in this discourse, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I've confessed in other discourses when meeting texts like this that I used to look upon these verses, grace and peace, grace and mercy and so on, be yours, as a kind of introduction, a make-way to ease the way into the letter. I see that is quite wrong, utterly wrong. This text, and the others like it, are not dealing with passing things, are not make-ways. Grace. Grace and peace. Grace and peace be yours. Yours in abundance, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. It is not make-way, is it? I confess it to my embarrassment to ever be thinking like that. I'm not going to get anything out of this letter. I'm not going to be able to obey any of its instruction, receive any of its doctrine, apply any of it to my life, unless I have the grace of God, the power of God's Spirit. Although he's not mentioned, he is, in all this, working the grace of God and of Jesus our Lord. And without that grace, I can never understand or appreciate or apply these doctrines, or live the Christian life, or take my part in the ecclesia to be, as Peter said in the first letter, one of the kingly priests of Christ, and sacrificing in a spiritual sense with God's people. It needs the grace. And of course I must have the peace of God, and it must be in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Unbeliever, don't you see this is the sine qua non? This is the actual, absolute, essential for you. It's not learning a system of facts. It's not coming to a decision, a viewpoint, a worldview, that kind of thing. It's knowing the grace of God working in the soul. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. God's grace, free grace, sovereign grace, powerful grace, effective grace, turning you from a dead sinner into a living child of God. You have to have this experience by God's Spirit regenerating you, and it's all of grace, all of God's mercy. What is grace? Undeserved kindness? That's what most people think. It is that. But it's when we deserve nothing but the wrath of God, he showers his love and mercy upon us in Jesus Christ. Until you've had that experience of the grace of God, you will know nothing of peace. And it's not knowing about God or Christ, it's not knowing about the Bible, it's knowing God himself and Jesus our Lord. Until you can say that Christ is your God and Savior, your Lord, your Redeemer, your King. Until you know him, where are you? Where are you? I'm not asking you to become knowledgeable about the Christian life. Oh, that you might know God in Christ by the Spirit. And God uses the preaching of his gospel to bring sinners to them. I deliver this short discourse. And one of my aims is that if any unbeliever is listening, you may come to that place where you may be able to say, from your heart, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, I'm resting, relying, and trusting in him and on him. And I know how that will happen. We may be able to talk about this text, or that preacher, or this preacher, but the truth, it was the grace of God that brought you there. Every believer listening to me, you've come to this place through the grace of God. And to go on in the Christian life, to take one step in the Christian life, to breathe one breath in the Christian life,
We need the grace of God
and the peace of God, the contentment, the rest that there is in Christ. And Peter wishes it and prays for it in abundance, full measure, enabling us to do all we do to the glory of God. Notice how, once again, as in verse 1, the apostle links so closely God and Jesus. In the verse before, he says, the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here it is, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, however you view the prepositions here and the conjunctions here and all the rest, the truth is that the juxtaposition of God and of Jesus our Lord, if Christ is not God, the apostle is being highly irresponsible here, linking so closely in the same breath God and Jesus Christ. There's only one conclusion I can come to. It's the same as Thomas, my Lord and my God, and I say that to Jesus Christ. But how, brother and sister, am I going to get this grace and peace? Unbeliever, how are you going to get this grace and peace? It's through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. It's knowing him, not knowing about him, not being able to argue about him, not like a theological chess game moving pieces about on the board, but knowing by experience, walking with and talking with, enjoying and communing with and trusting in and having the experience of being with and for and of God. You need to know God in Christ, unbeliever. And believer, so do you, so do I. May God give us grace and peace today. Give it to us in abundance. How are we going to get it? By knowing God, by knowing Christ, by knowing Jesus, Savior, by knowing Jesus as our Lord, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As we walk with him and talk with him, as we commune with him and meditate upon him, as we try to serve him, Peter wishes for us, and may God grant it to us, that we shall have grace, enabling us to live for Christ and think for Christ and be moved for Christ, and peace be ours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. May it be so, and may these short discourses prove to be used of God to bring us this abundant grace and peace. May it be ours through Jesus Christ, through God, and through and by Jesus our Lord. So may it be so. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.